City Hall. We've heard that. We've probably all heard that. And I'm not going to encourage you to fight City Hall. But I might encourage you to fight the people in City Hall, because that is a difference. Okay, and make sure we get this statement that this church teaches that we believe that the government, especially our government, the government of the United States, does no wrong. We need to get that straight across, and I really believe that. Okay, a lot of times when people say the government did this, and the government did that, and the government did this, that's not true. That's not true. Okay, it may be individuals who are acting like a government position, but often they're not. And a lot of these things I've learned through sitting through six of Gene Zimmerman's law classes, and it has helped me understand the Bible more and more to know what to do about given situations. Okay, remember, often it's not what you don't know that hurts you. What hurts you is what you think is you know. That isn't so. That's what hurts you. Okay, the Bible verse for that one is Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, one good example is a lot of people have been hurt. A lot of children have been hurt. A lot of children have died from immunization shots. And Americans don't realize that that is not the law. You know, requirement of giving immunization shots. Okay, and we need to understand what is true here. Now, if unlawful behavior goes unchecked, when I refer to unlawful behavior, I'm referring in this context unlawful behavior of somebody who is portraying to be an agent or an official of some government agency. When their unlawful behavior goes unchecked, evil prevails and evil increases. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, when sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore in the hearts of sin, men is fully setting them to do evil. And I'm going to give you some Supreme Court cites, also because when the Supreme Court makes a decision, then that is something that is a final decision as far as a case is made or decreed as far as any laws are purportedly passed. And we need to understand that a lot of times Congress can pass all the unconstitutional laws they want. They can pass all they want. But the enforcement of those things must be constitutional. As soon as the Brady Bill was passed, a very wise and constitutional sheriff down in Arizona by the name of Richard Mack immediately turned around and sued for the unconstitutionality of the Brady Bill, and he took it clear up to the Supreme Court and won. Okay, and so that's a real blessing. But did that stop him from doing what they're going to do? No, it's just that he won. Okay, and so the Supreme Court case, the American Communication Association versus Dodds, the Supreme Court said, it is not the function of our government to keep the citizen from falling into error. It is the function of the citizen to keep the government from falling into error. Thomas Jefferson said, after the Republic was founded, he said, we have the greatest opportunity the world has ever seen. As long as we remain honest, which will be as long as we can keep the attention of our people alive. If they once become inattentive to public affairs, you and I and Congress and assemblies, judges and governors will all become wolves. Okay, now I had us turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. Here's the prophetic of it. Zephaniah chapter 3. This will occur in any nation. Okay, in any nation. And this is the, in Zephaniah 3 will be the progression downward. This happens to be the nation of Judah. Okay, Zephaniah 3, verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes, okay, there's the political figures. Her princes within her are roaring lion. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passes by. Their cities are destroyed, so there that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Okay, so that's Judah. Okay, and the Bible deals with kings and kingdoms all through the Bible. Now, for us in the New Testament, if you would, go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Now, after we go through Israel and see what the Bible pattern is about certain events, our certain attitudes and reactions toward things, then we'll pull that into America. Okay, Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Obviously, we know that's not eternal damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Okay, minister of God, that's why you'll see some public officials will refer to themselves as ministers of state. We get that from the Bible. And a minister is to be a servant. That's what we call them, public servants. He says, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Right there, conscience sake. Very important motive behind what we do. For this cause pay ye tribute also, that for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom whom custom, feared whom fear, honored whom honor, and so forth. Okay, basically here, and as far as our past goes in America, here's basically a choice each of us need to make. When I get dealing about these things, I do not tell people what to do. I may suggest a few things or give this sort of information, the scenario, but whether God calls you to purposely resist evil, whether it's in a political figure or not, or to redress your grievance, then that's something between you and God. Okay, when I say redress your grievances, okay, some that have taken a law class know what I mean by that. Redress your grievances is to address or readdress your complaints to the governing authorities. Redress of grievances is verbally going to them and stating your objections. You know, the Stamp Act, objections to that. You know, the Boston Tea Party and things like that. Okay, redress of grievances is verbally, for example, years ago, remember when CBs, you had to buy a license to get a CB? Well, I say they wanted you to buy a license to get a CB. Remember that? They try to push it off as a law. You have to have a license and a number for a CB radio. The average American said, take a leap. And it got to the point where they said, would you please come in and get a license for your CB? And finally, they just said, fool you on it. Why? Because the people said, take a leap. Okay, and you have... We have three basic ways that, as far as a citizen of the United States can overrule anything that some purported law has said, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay, basically, and you'll learn this in law class if you take it, is if you don't raise an objection, you don't have an objection. You got to say something verbally. And especially in court, people will say something, and when they get railroaded in court, they'll walk out and complain in the hall. Why are you complaining there? You're not doing any good there. Soon as you start see the steamroller coming your way in the courtroom, you say, I object! Right in the courtroom. And you keep objecting and keep objecting and keep objecting and keep objecting. And one guy went in court, and he wasn't ready to go to court. And Gene says, can you object? He said, yes. He said, okay, then do that. And as soon as they announced the case, he said, this is case number. He goes, I object. And what is your name? I object. And then finally, the judge says, if you say that again, I'm going to hold you in contempt. He said, I object. They can't, okay? So object. Raise your objection, a verbal objection, to a police officer, to child protection services. Raise your objection. If you do not raise objection, you are in agreement. You have made a contract. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 2, the nature in life and the natural brute beast, which often are in political position, they are behaving as natural brute beasts, they follow the line of least resistance. And so if you resist, and if they do believe that you have a pretty big fly swatter, or you know the law, they will go someplace else. Generally speaking. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Okay, so we redress our grievances in a verbal appeal to the authority. But a person who does not know his lawful rights is no better off than the person that has no rights. And that's true. That's similar to the statement, a person who does not read is no better off than a person who cannot read. So if you do not know your lawful rights, then you're no better off than a person who doesn't have any rights. In China, or in Russia, you see, or in Islamic cultures, you're no better off than them if you don't know the rights that you have. And again, when you cross these things, you have to make a decision between you and the Lord, is should I accept this reproach or should I take action of justice? If I'm in a street corner preaching and a guy comes and spits on me, okay, I have a choice. Should I accept that reproach for Christ or should I ask a police officer to come over and say, I'd like to press charges for assault because this guy spit on me? Okay, because that is an assault. If it is an assault knowing that he has AIDS, then it is assault. It's a felony. Okay, and so a person makes those decisions how far you want to go. And that's where the Lord will direct you in those things. If you would look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1. Okay, Isaiah 10, verse 1. It says, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment and to take away the right. See that? The right. I got my right. To take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. Okay, that's the governing structures doing that to people. Another one very similar to that is Amos. Remember, Old Testament is often how God deals with a nation. Amos chapter 5. Amos 5 is a guy out there publicly street preaching, and probably a place to do is around a courthouse, right on the sidewalks at a courthouse. Especially when the judges go out for lunch and yell, woe unto you lawyers, for you take away the key of knowledge. I saw the one attorney going by our stoplight and I just couldn't resist yelling that out there. Okay, Amos 5 verse 10. When you look at the context, he's dealing with the leadership of the house of Israel, verse 1. He says, here's what it says. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speak uprightly. In the gate, type that in your Bible, you'll find that that's where the business is conducted and the judges. That's where Lot was sitting in Genesis 19, because Lot was some type of a judicial official in Sodom. Okay, they hate him that rebuketh in a gate. They abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Forasmuch, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from the burdens of the wheat, take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Okay, that's where we get the saying rights, constitutional rights. Okay, and so there's that one. Okay, now the chain of command of authority and power of Israel throughout history. I'm going to run through that. The famous verse that's all usually used for us is Luke chapter 20. Well, you need to obey the government at all times. Obey the government, because the Bible says that we got to obey Caesar. Okay, Luke 20 is the passage. And last time I haven't checked, I haven't seen Caesar walking around in America. Okay, so here's Caesar. This is what Jesus Christ said. And you need to remember the history at this time period, which we will come to the history of this time period. Luke 20, they asked Jesus a question in 22. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. Okay, now when Caesar demands more money than God, which is 10%, then Caesar thinks he's above God. Okay, so here's the chain of authority. And at this time, Israel was subject to Caesar. Okay, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 again. Look at that. This is a passage that most people interpret saying that you are required to obey all the governing authorities. New World Translation, Catholic version that comes through the Jehovah Witnesses, Romans 13, 1. Notice how it's written in the King James Bible. New World Translation, let every soul be in subjection to the superior authorities, for there is no authority except by God. The existing authorities stand placed in their relative positions by God. Okay, New American Standard, Paraphrase version. Okay, it says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Okay, NIV, it says, Romans 13, 1, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. God established Iran, their authorities, Iraq. I think a God did, and our God allowed it. And then it says the authorities that exist have been established by God. New King Jimmy, you know, that's an improvement of the King James Bible. And it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. It's just like the others. For there is no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Okay, so you can see the standard process, the standard operating procedure of that crowd. Now, let's see what the Bible says following Bible pattern throughout history. And we're going to start with the nation of Israel. Okay, remember that the Bible does not teach blind obedience to any human authority. So starting with Israel, before they became a nation in Egypt, Exodus chapter 1, let's see how God felt about certain things. This is Israel under bondage of Egypt. Israel under the Old Testament. This is actually technically before they became a nation. They are subjects under Egypt. And this is the first record of a nation that had instituted slavery as a nation, and it's the Egyptians enslaving Jewish people. And I don't think Abe Lincoln was back there to help them out. Okay, Exodus chapter 1. Now, if they were to obey the governing authorities, okay, look in Exodus chapter 1, verse 10. Now, come now, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Notice their lives became bitter. Okay, now you got the midwives. Now that wasn't working for the Egyptians. And so the Egyptian king passed a law, verse 15 and 16, he told the Jews or the midwives, I want you to kill every boy that's born. So it's a form of abortion, only they waited till it was born. So kill every boy. That was their governing authority. And what did the midwives do? Well, they feared God, verse 17. Why? They were subject unto the higher powers. Who's the higher powers in this case? It's God. As the apostle said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. So the midwives, some folks would call this civil disobedience, and that is kind of a term that I did use in the Bible, but after talking to Gene a while for that, he said it's not a real good term because it's hard to describe. Okay, and so that is going to be changed. But the midwives feared God, and they did not kill the babies. And notice how God dealt with them, verse 20. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. So their action was to obey the higher authority, and that's God. Chapter 2, Moses' parents, okay, were, according to the law, was supposed to allow their son to be killed. They went and hid him for 3 months, chapter 2, verse 2. Now, for theirs, we need to go to Hebrews chapter 11 to notice their attitude about this. Hebrews chapter 11. If they were to obey the interpretation of all the new Bibles, Moses was a dead baby. Hebrews 11, verse 23. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The powers that be said at that time, kill the boys. And Moses' parents said, well, we're not going to do that. The higher power says, don't kill the babies. The human power says, kill the babies. We're obeying the higher powers. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Okay, Moses becomes of age, and what did Moses do? He redressed his grievances. He went to Pharaoh and said, oh, come on, back off on these people. You're just killing them. You're killing them. So then he went through the 10 plagues. And then the 10th one, Pharaoh finally got, his son got killed. And then he got killed going through the water. And that's when Israel became a nation. Okay, so phase number one for Israel was under the subjection of Egypt before they became a nation. Phase number two, Israel now becomes a theocratic republic or commonwealth. And that's the Bible word, a commonwealth. If you would, look in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, these are constitutional republics like in our country. Just to say something is a republic, well, the Soviet Union is called a republic. Okay, and so it's a constitutional republic. Okay, and Indiana, the state of Indiana, or the nation of Indiana, or the Republic of Indiana. Okay? And you have the Commonwealth of Kentucky, I think Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Virginia still, I think, refer to themselves as Commonwealth. Commonwealth and Republic are very synonymous terms. Ephesians 2, verse 12, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens, okay, an alien is a non-citizen, from the Commonwealth of Israel. Okay, and strangers would be a non-citizen, a foreigner, from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So you have aliens, we still call them that today, right? Illegal aliens. Okay, strangers and foreigners. Okay, for the foreigners, you go to verse 19 so you can get the words, how the Bible uses them. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. See how that's used? That's where we get the word citizen. Okay, so a citizen in this country, you're born in this country. Okay, now what's a commonwealth? Black's Law Dictionary, a commonwealth designates a republican frame of government, one in which welfare and rights of the entire mass of people are the main consideration, rather than the privileges of a class or the will of a monarch. That's the definition of a commonwealth. A republic, a constitutional republic, is that form of government in which the administration of affairs is open to all the citizens. Okay, and that's what's known as common law. The common law. If you get the, and I'll show it to you eventually, or cite it eventually. In Indiana, in the code, it says we have four hierarchies of law. Constitution of the nation, Constitution of the state, statutes of the nation, statutes of the state, and then the number four is the common law under the King of England. Common law. Common law, or the law, is common for the people. Okay, and so that the law is written for the sake of the people. Okay, a lot of times when you get into these things, you'll get into some Latin words, and a couple of them is, one is lex scripta. Lex is the Latin word for law. Scripta is pretty understandable, scripta, written law. Okay, if you would look in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy basically is the book of the written law, some of the written laws for the nation of Israel. And this is where we find many of the basis for many of our laws in the founding of our nation. Exodus is another place. When you run Exodus, the Ten Commandments and following, about four chapters in there, four or five chapters. Okay, lex scripta is written law. Written law. The word law occurs 24 times in the book of Deuteronomy. And notice how the word is spelled Deuteronomy. It's like a duet. It is the second giving of the law. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes. That's a common term used, and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation, is a wise and understanding people, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this land which I have set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And the reason why Americans, we are losing so many rights is because our generations are not passing down what we've been taught. And so I'm teaching eventually about American law, and this is a biblical thing to do. Now, there are two types of governments throughout the world. Two basic types, just like you have two basic types of people, saved and lost. Two basic attitudes towards the Bible. One is they fear the Bible, the other they disregard the Bible. There are two types of government, and again, we're going with Latin words. Many of the preachers in the founding of America, there's a book I've got entitled Lex Rex, or Rex Lex. Sounds like you're calling a dog or something. Okay, Lex Rex, law. Remember, lex is law. Rex is king. Lex rex, law, the law is king. When you switch it, rex lex, the king is law. That's the two basic governments. Rex lex is the government structure controlling the people, plundering the people. Lex rex is the law or the people controlling the government. You see, that's the two basic governments you have throughout the world. Obviously, the vast majority are rex lex, where the king is law. If the king says, off with their head, okay, well, you have a new form of diet. Off with the head. Okay, and this rex lex, where the king is law or the government controls the people, Jesus Christ talked about that in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 42. He put it in this fashion. That's not the one I want. I think it's 20. Okay, I'm looking for where the where they were talking about being servants and the Gentiles rule or lordship. I'm looking for lordship. Anybody got to remember where that's at? Maybe it's Mark. Let me check Mark 10. Mark 10, sorry. Mark 10, verse 42. Okay, Mark 10, 42. Jesus called them to him and saith unto him, ye know that they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Okay, so that's known as rex lex. The king is law. And what this will do, this will legalize plunder. Okay, legalize plunder. This was what was forewarned by Samuel. Remember when the children of Israel told Samuel, we want a king, we want a king. And so he protested, 1 Samuel 8, verse 9, he protested, and he told them, if you want a king, he's going to plunder you. He's going to take 10% of everything you got. Oh, that'd be nice now, wouldn't it? Canada's 50% right off the top, paycheck, 50%. You know, in Europe, you go up to 70%. See, where in those countries, they just take it right off the top, because they've been under rex lex for so long, where in America, they got to kind of sneak it out here and sneak it out over here and do it on your phone bill over here and do it over here on airline tickets here and over here. They got to sneak that stuff through there. Okay, and so this is where excessive taxation will oppress the people. Eventually, the people will bust. Something will go. Okay, in Daniel 11, verse 20, the Antichrist is a raiser of taxes. So I'm going to skip some what I have under that, lex rex, right now. Okay, lex rex is the law is king. That's the people controlling the government. Now, when you hear of politicians talking about the people, and when they talk about liberty, that doesn't mean they're concerned for the people. You know, our great dishonest Abe said, government for the people, of the people, and by the people. He's the first guy who put an income tax without the vote of the people. He's the first one who put in the executive order. The very first executive order was dishonest Abe. And in his inaugural address, he said slavery, basically, we're having this war, and if I could free a slave through the war, fine. If I can't, fine, and I'm not going to war, and I am going to war. And the guy was, man, you talk about Slick Willie through the whole thing, just read his first inaugural address. And his second one, he kind of snuck in on a midnight train, and a guy was declared to be a tyrant by one of the Supreme Court justices. So when you hear people say, the people, a congressman or somebody like MLK, Martin Luther King, talk about liberty, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it says that they talk about liberty, but they are slaves. Okay, now what is law? The law is king. Okay, the law is the collective organization of the individual right to lawful defense. That's very simple. There's a book entitled The Law. Very short book. I think the author is Frederick Bastiat. Okay. A very small book. Best book you're going to read on the law. How many of you read the Bastiat? Some of you read some of that. Okay. Excellent little book. Okay, and he defines the law for you. What is the law? The law is a collective organization of the individual right to lawful defense. Okay, you have your piece of property. You have a lawful right to your piece of property. Somebody walks on your property, you object if you don't want them on there. Okay, and if it need be, you can push them off your property. And if that don't work, you can take them out, you know, horizontally off your property. Because you're the king on your property. Now, this is how you can understand the issue of immigration. Take all this stuff and boil it down to your own local house. Do you want somebody to come in your house uninvited? Okay. Yes, you can let somebody come in your house invited, and you have certain rules and regulations, but what if they come out and they're sticking out to windows of your house? Eventually, you're going to have to say something, right? The same goes with a nation. Okay, and it's basically boil everything down to your local property, because that's what law is. It is your right to protect what you have. Okay, and so that's how the law is defined. Law is negative. Law is negative like a fist to protect my property. That's what the law is. It's a negative thing, and I can use my fist to protect my life, liberty, and land. Liberty is when you open up your hands and you create things from productive hands. We hear constantly, the government created so many jobs, right? Don't we hear that all the time? The government cannot create any jobs. The government cannot give you your rights. The government cannot give you riches without taking both from somebody else. You see, as far as the structure goes. And so the purpose of government is to protect and provide, protect, not provide, for the liberty of the people. That's the purpose of government. Now, am I just making this up? Okay, I'll cite you a few Supreme Court people. This is not just a Baptist preacher talking. This is U.S. Supreme Court, Troop versus Dulles. And the Supreme Court said, we are oath-bound to defend the Constitution. The judiciary has the duty of implementing the constitutional safeguards that protect individual rights. That's what they're supposed to do. Supreme Court case in New York, the sole purpose of the government is the protection of private rights. Supreme Court of the U.S., Boyd versus U.S., it is a duty of the courts to be watchful for the constitutional rights of the citizen and against any stealthy encroachments thereon. Their motto should be absta principis. That's how that's some Latin term. And basically, they're watching like a hawk for our rights. U.S. versus Mandel, federal case. It says the governor is a trustee for the citizen and owes the normal fiduciary duties of a trustee, including honesty and loyalty. Boy, oh boy, we just don't get that much anymore, do we? Okay, so now we have Israel as a nation, as an independent nation. They became a theocratic republic, like a constitutional republic. You'll see their laws are written down in Deuteronomy, most of them. Okay, phase number three for Israel is they became a monarchy. That was a step down. 1 Samuel chapter 8 is the monarchy. Okay, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and when the king didn't like anybody, like David, he could kill him. And nobody's going to do a thing about it. And we're going to take him to court, and we're going to do a thing about it. As a monarchy, the king has absolute power. And the first king they had ruled fine for 2 years, and then for 38 years he was a tyrant. And Samuel protested this, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 9. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest. solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And when you read down there, there's all the plunder the king will do. Okay, the second king was a faithful king, but that faithful king had much turmoil because he had ambitious tyrants trying to take his kingdom. The third king was an absolute monarch. That's Solomon. Okay, so that's the third phase of Israel as a monarchy. The fourth phase, Israel now under the subjection of Babylon. Daniel chapter 1, remember that Daniel has been taken in as a prisoner, and he was put in front of him to have the king's meat and the king's wine. And so what was Daniel's, what was his motive, not motive, but what was his procedure of the new powers that be over him? Daniel 1, what did he do? He redressed his grievances. He told Melzar, I don't want to eat the king's meat. I don't want the king's wine. Give me a 10-day test, please. Give me a 10-day test, and if we're not better off after 10 days, then we'll go back with what you're saying. And, of course, we know he won the test. What was his purpose in that? Daniel 1:8, and this must be your motive behind anything you do when you're doing anything with any governing structures. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That's the conscience. Okay, so Daniel redressed his grievances, and so he was fine with that. He got okay. But then, two chapters later, his three buddies, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, was told by the governing authorities to bow down to that obelisk that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and what did they do? They rebelled in a nice fashion to the governing authorities, and they obeyed the higher power, thrown in the fiery furnace. They obeyed God rather than man, and then God brought them up out of it. There's an example. Okay, they did not obey the governing authorities as these books say to do. Okay, so that's Israel under Babylon. Israel under Media Persia, Daniel chapter 6. I'm sure you know these stories. Daniel chapter 6, that's when they were told you couldn't pray to anybody but the king for 30 days. And Daniel prayed three times a day toward Jerusalem, as he did before. And then the political guys found him, and they was going to execute the sentence against him. So what did Daniel do? Did he obey the governing authority? He was a third guy, top president, second guy, I guess you could say. And he did not obey the king, Darius the king. And so he obeyed God rather than man. Of course, we know that God delivered him from it. Okay, Mordecai is another fella that demonstrates that you are to obey the higher power when it conflicts with your conscience and when it conflicts with your relationship with God. Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 3, verse 2. This fella named Haman had some, he wanted to boost his ego. So he got a law passed that everybody had to do reverence to Haman. Esther chapter 3, verse 2. And Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. He disobeyed the governing authorities because he wanted to obey the higher authority, and that's God. And of course, in this case, we could see again that this case turned out good for him. It's not always going to be that way. In fact, don't expect it to be that way. Another case of this is Ezra chapter 4 through 6, Haggai the prophet. Now that one, we're going to hold off because that one basically shows the process that a person follows in these events. So Haggai, that shows this in Ezra 4 through 6. Okay, the next phase, you got Israel under Media Persia, now Israel under Rome. Nothing's really said about Israel under Greece. Under Rome, that's when Jesus Christ is making comment in Luke chapter 20. Israel's under Rome at that time. Render therefore unto Caesar the things that be Caesar's. And if you would look in John 8:32, here are some of the most deceived people in the world. John 8:32 through 36. John 8:32, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. What a bunch of idiots. Right at that moment, they were subjects under Rome. And that's why Jesus Christ said, render unto Caesar the things that be Caesar's. Now, if you would, go to Acts 16. Now, here's the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul is our example. Doctrinally, we are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And in Acts 16, Paul is out doing some work for the Lord, and some overzealous official of Rome arrested him. Acts 16, verse 35. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared. Why? Because those magistrates stepped outside of their authority, their Roman authority. Paul knew Roman law, and these guys were in deep trouble. Paul could have taken that thing to the full degree, and them guys would have been probably thrown into pokey. The sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans, and they came and besought them. Boy, they're really eating crow now, begging. And brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And I can see these guys when they got Paul outside of the city. Boy, I hope he don't come back. You see, and that's our goal. Now, what could have Paul done? He had a choice there. Suffer reproach, that's what he chose. Or he could have taken Roman law and executed justice against those magistrates. Okay, Acts 22 is another place. Paul is the example. Acts 22. Acts 22, verse 25. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is Roman and uncondemned? Okay, notice, ask the question. His question was intelligent because he knew Roman law. The question was so designed to get this person to think about his unlawful behavior. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man's a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. I was born a Roman citizen. Then straightway they departed from him which should examine him, and the chief captain also was afraid. After he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him, he had already violated something. Okay, that's our goal right there. That's Israel under subjection of Rome. Okay, the seventh stage is today Israel, the independent state, who is subject to the political pressure of the United Nations. And that's the mess they're in today. Because they do not have a free country today. They were given, you know, freedom in 1948, but today Israel cannot run their country. They cannot defend themselves as they choose because they're under political pressure from the United Nations, and it will be that way until Jesus Christ comes back and changes the whole program. And then we'll see how an absolute monarch runs the show. Okay, so that's Israel, running through Israel's history pretty fast, and so we'll stop there. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be lawful and obey thee and learn, know when we are to obey and take reproach and when we are to try to execute justice. And Lord, I know that we are to obey you rather than man. And Lord, we pray that you'd give us wisdom during these times. In Jesus' name, amen.